It's the herb at the end of the world. It's the herb at the end of the world. It's the time I took some time to heal.
It's time
I took some time to heal.
It's time
I took some time to heal. And I feel fine, kind of. Hello and welcome to another episode of Herb at the End of the World. This is Samwise Raritan, your host and community herbalist, and I am so blessed to be talking with folk herbalist Madeline Keller today about rose. Welcome, Madeline.
Hi, it's so good to be here.
Yeah, it's really wonderful to have you here too. We're really excited to share our exploration of rose with y'all. It seems like a really powerful time for that. And to get us started, I thought we'd start with a short grounding meditation. So I invite everyone listening to find a comfortable seat. And if you're listening to this while you're driving, you can maybe pause it and listen to it later, or find a safe way to get into our bodies. So I invite you to feel how your body is making contact with like a solid surface, whether that be a seat that you're sitting on that's connected to the floor, that's connected to all of the building infrastructure that's resting on top of the earth, or maybe you're standing or walking, feeling that solidness of your foot against the ground. And just taking a moment to see how it feels to be held by gravity and held close to the surface of the earth. And I invite you, if you'd like, to send some energetic roots down through the layers of building infrastructure, or down through the soles of your feet, into the rocks and the soil, and the layers of sand and sediment, and the water table, down through the layers of time, rock, to the glowing alive center of our beautiful planet. And just seeing for a moment how it feels to be in the presence of such aliveness and such warmth. And seeing if you'd like to welcome some of this alive, warm, glowing energy up into the roots that you've sent all the way down, and seeing how that energy travels so easily, naturally, up your roots, up through layers of rock, water tables, dinosaur bones, and the pipes and city and building infrastructure, up through your feet or the legs of the chair, wherever your body is making contact with the earth. Inviting that into our bodies and up through our torsos and into our heart. And just breathing with that alive, glowing energy for a moment and letting it circulate through our whole being. And I invite you to imagine your heart so intelligent and brave and tender as a seed. This beautiful seed that carries so much knowledge of its own unfolding. And that aliveness from the earth center is watering that seed so that it can grow and sprout. And if you'd like to imagine a flower or a plant slowly blooming at the top of your head or wherever that feels the most natural for a flower to be. And I invite this opening and this blossoming in our being, in our consciousness and our spirit. And I invite you to notice what kind of flower or plant being is this? What colors does it carry? Does it have thorns or prickles? Is it soft or sandpapery? Whatever is there for you is welcome. Even if this is a plant that's struggling a little bit, we can send these energies of the earth and the waters of our attention with the intention to grow and support the aliveness of this plant in the future. And whenever you're ready, I invite you to send some gratitude to this plant being. Thank it for its vibrancy and its aliveness, and know that you share that vibrancy and its aliveness, and that carries through all your interactions that you have with the world as you touch and shape the world as it touches and shapes you. And whenever you're ready, I invite our awareness to come back to our heart center and to open our eyes and be here in the collective shared space of this beautiful rose-centered exploration. So welcome again to Madeline Keller. I'm very excited to introduce them to you. Madeline is a queer, white, non-binary zinester, folk herbalist, witch, and feeler residing on unceded Awaswa-speaking Ohlone territory, colonially known as California's Central Coast. Their work carries threads of magic, unsettling, and queer femme power. They regularly offer free and paid workshops on herbal medicine, land connection, private herbal guidance consults, and medicine-making mentorship, and community space for planty anti-capitalist queerdos on Patreon and through regular open hours where folks can gather to collaborate on mutual aid apothecary projects. They also write zines on topics ranging from climate catastrophe to rediscovering agency. So welcome again, Madeline.
Thanks so much. That was a really beautiful meditation you just led us through. And thank you for leading that. That was awesome.
Thank you for, thank you for being on this journey with me. I'm always curious what people, plants come up for folks, and it doesn't have to be rose.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I actually saw cosmos, bright pink cosmos, and it kept coming to me as if I was it was right at eye level. Like I was seeing the profile of it, and it was so beautiful, just soaking up the sun. But that big pink energy also, I feel like, is kind of related to rose. So that was interesting.
Yeah. That's so funny. Cause I was thinking of a really big pink zinnia.
Oh, those are so similar.
Yeah. Very similar. So hardy, right? Can definitely get down with some low water situation.
Yeah. Yeah, which is kind of what we got going on here these days.
Yeah, it's so dry.
Yeah.
So dry.
Yeah.
Which, it carries some foreboding with it, and also really is making me truly appreciate and honor the spirit and the aliveness of the water in my life. Really honor it as medicine in the spirit of everything that runs through everything.
Yeah, every time during that meditation that you brought up the water table, I was just I felt this embodied reaction of yes, the water. Yeah. So yeah, I feel that too, really, really honoring it, and just kind of almost this place of awe. I feel so in awe of water, because the scarcity really makes me honor it too. So
Yeah, totally. And speaking of water, something that's been really alive for me right now is thinking about wells. Not just because where I'm staying right now in Sevastopol is on well water. And it, like, there was a moment where, like, the filter wasn't working or whatever, and could taste the actual minerals of the water from the land, which had, like, a lot of, like, sulfur in it, which my partner was like, "You smell like a hot spring." So I was like, "That's because the water's coming directly out of the earth," and, like, this is what it tastes like, you know. And I just have been thinking a lot about, like, sacred wells and, like, the lore of wells, and, like, been the way that I've been really getting down with Rose right now is in the bath. And, like, I bought this pound of rose petals from the Sonoma County Herb Exchange, which is, like, the most abundant. I wish I could have just gotten it out of the fridge and shown you, because it's, like, it's still just, like, massive amounts, just, like, this, like, totally abundant feeling of rose, which I'm so grateful to feel connected to, because, like, that abundance and that, like, ebullience of the spring and, like, these abundance of, like, pleasure and love and joy, but also, like, boundaries and, like, the ability to hold, like, really, really deep, complicated grief is totally in the energy of Rose for me. And so, and also, yeah, the complicated grief of, like, histories of the well and, like, do you know the podcast Fair Folk at all? Have you talked
about that? I think you mentioned it to me, but I haven't listened to it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. They recently stopped making episodes, which I'm, like, so sad, but they need to do. But I just listened to this series about, or this, like, little mini episode about, like, histories of well and how, like, the wells were sites of where my ancestors, which is, like, Germanic, like, Northern, like, Western European-ish folks, would, like, pray and also, like, offer, like, healing and, like, offer ritual, and, like, people would come to these sites of wells, and that was a site of, like, great, like, pleasure and joy and, like, the prayer of, like, sex and, like, the prayer of, like, you know, divine, like, sexual connection with folks, and how, like, Christianity and, like, different forces of empire building would, like, target these wells, and, like, would, they became, like, sites of violence for folk to endure. And so as I'm, like, sitting in the bath with all these rose petals, I'm, like, thinking about healing being at the well, like, healing being in this, like, place of, like, vulnerability and beauty, and, like, honoring the spirit of the aliveness that comes from being connected to, like, the earth and, like, to the place where the water comes out of the earth as being this miracle, you know. And, like, the energy of Rose is helping me feel into the history of that and into, like, the healing of being with my body and that in that place.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds really lovely. I can imagine, like, the rose really being able to hold all of that, like you were speaking to, complexity and vulnerability, especially in that experience, but also sort of, like, the lusciousness, this, which is, like, I don't know, kind of the same way that I also feel about water. Just, like, every time I'm, like, in or near water, it's like, whoa, this is a luxury. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Blessed be to the water. Well, I'd love to hear a little bit more about like your practice and, like, your experience with, like, kind of the physical qualities of Rose, and just anything that's alive for you to share about where you are at these days and in your works and offerings.
Well, I love Rose a lot, and I really like exploring. I feel like, I was talking to you about this a little bit last week, but, I feel like Rose is a plant that a lot of people have a relationship with already. Like, a lot of the time, if you are kind of, like, you know, helping steward people's journeys in, like, plant learning, which is a lot of what I do a lot of, like, herbal education, then like there are a lot of plants that they're meeting for the first time, but rose is usually not one of those. It's something that people already have like a standing association with. And for that reason, I think like both in my teaching and like my work with other folks, and also just like personally and like my, you know, pre-existing relationships with the plant myself, I feel like just for whatever reason, like so many different dimensions of the plant are really accessible to me. Like I really love to think about aromatherapy with rose, and like just the medicine of like the smell of rose is really wonderful. And I also, it's interesting because we're talking about this thread of like the preciousness of water, and rose is an astringent, right? And so it can actually like help you kind of retain your water and like tone everything up a bit. And that's kind of more from like the medicinal, like physical body dimension. And then of course, also there's like a lot of the like more spiritual and energetic medicine of rose that I feel like we're also touching on a bit here. And yeah, I feel really grateful for rose as being a plant that models all of those dimensions so well. Like, I feel like all three of those are pretty accessible to people, you know, like you can smell a rose and feel the difference. You can see a rose and feel the difference. You can taste rose tea and your mouth puckers, obviously, you know. I think it's like a wonderful teaching plant. And yeah, it's just so accessible in that way and very generous, and also really good at teaching about boundaries too, because it's got the like really obvious thorn medicine. And that's something that is like already pretty culturally acknowledged here in like, you know, Western culture. We have like, who did that song? Like every rose has its thorn. I can't remember who sang that.
Yeah. Every rose has its thorn. I don't know who sings that.
Yeah. Yeah. And but it's something that's like widely acknowledged. And yeah, so I just really appreciate that. And yeah, a big part of my work is like whether through like private education or through like free community offerings, like is that education piece. And I just really appreciate this plant for being, yeah, so like clear. It's like a clear signpost of like, here's what I do. Here's what I have to offer. It's like very recognizable for people. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I love that about it too. And I love that you're, yeah, touching on the astringency of rose, because it's like that, you know, it's in so many like products and like things, you know. I think in part for that quality of like kind of being able to kind of tone and kind of draw water off in a particular way, and kind of like close, like I think about like closing the pores, or kind of like, yeah, like having this action of yeah, of tightening, which is interesting. Because I think too about like the lore of rose, at least in like the Roman times, of being associated with like keeping secrets or keeping confidence. And so I think that that energy of like kind of like, you know, and like just the imagery of like a tightly closed rosebud, you know, kind of holding all this possibility, but being very, very tight, you know? And I think it's interesting that it kind of has those qualities on like a medicinal level as well. And yeah, I also think about it too as like a heart medicine, both on the energetic and on like the physical side of things. And I'm not sure why, I'm not sure like what the like herbal action around like the heart it has. Do you happen to know that one? Or
I have learned that it is like toning slightly to cardio tissue. Like the, yeah, the like parameters in which I've always like studied and used rose have been for like both the energetic and the physical heart, so rose petals, and also for like the intestines too.
As like toning the lining of the intestines, if we get like open or weepy from like food allergies or other irritants. That's a good reminder about rose for me. Because if it's too porous and it's like it's not doing a good job of absorbing, and then that's more, you're not getting enough nutrients, and so Mm-hmm. And then again, with that, the boundaries, you know, piece of like, if you're letting too much in, then it's, you know, can be overwhelming for the system.
But. Yeah, it's also really interesting, because when you were talking about the rosebud, I was thinking about how, you know, some flowers will just kind of like pop open. Like you'll see, they'll like grow a bud and then it'll just be like, bam, I'm here. but in my experience, rose doesn't necessarily do that, you know, and it depends on like the species and the cultivar and things like that. But a lot of roses, especially the ones that I think people are most familiar with, like the more showy decorative ones, it's going to take a minute for that rose to open all the way. And that in itself, you know, like, is another really beautiful metaphor and reminder about how boundaries can work. You know, like, we get to take our time, we get to evaluate, you know, we get to, yeah, we get to have all the time and space that we need to figure that stuff out. Yeah,
totally. There's so much wisdom in that. Like, yeah, especially with connecting with others. Like, if you're getting to know someone, it's not going to be like, and like, you're going to tell them all your deepest, darkest secrets the first time you meet them. Like, there is that like, like slow unfolding over time that like builds on itself and like can build that capacity for connection and intimacy. So
yeah, I mean, one thing that I love to do, and I think we talked about a little bit about this too last week, but I love to go on walks specifically to just go like see all the roses in my neighborhood and like smell all of them. And it's so fun to visit all of the different bushes, like, you know, every day in a week and see like, you know, which flowers have opened, like which ones have new buds on them, like just kind of like seeing a rose like open through its like different stages. It's like, oh, it's just something I love to do also. Yeah. And I think that like, there's just like some great joy medicine in that for me and probably for a lot of other folks too. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason we grow them.
Totally. There's so many reasons why, like, so many different cultures over thousands of years have been, like, totally obsessed with rose. I'm square in that camp. I, like, have been so captivated. Like, we were talking about the going through the neighborhood when I was still living in Oakland. Yeah, I think we talked about this one orange rose bush that I would, like, ritually go and, like, visit. And just the smell of it, too, because sometimes with the really overly cultivated varieties of rose, like overly messed with, they kind of can lose some of that fragrance, but this one hadn't. And it was just like so divine, you know? And for me, it was this like you're talking about aromatherapy, or like, you know, really the medicine of smell, like the medicine of scent, like, you know, quarantine was so, I mean, was, I don't know what's happening right now, but
yeah,
just, you know, really hard and shitty sometimes. And we had a very small apartment. And so, you know, I would very consciously go seek out this rose to like lift my spirit and my heart when I really needed a different perspective. Like when I really needed to like come out of this, like, you know, this deeper place of like confinement to have that kind of opening like we're describing. Mm-hmm. So I could get a different perspective and be like, okay.
Okay, I guess I can go back to my apartment now.
Yeah, okay, most likely like, oh, I guess I was kind of being an asshole, I'm really sorry. I see how I am like co-participating in my suffering right now.
Okay. Yeah, I do think there's something to be said for rose having that power as well. I mean, you know, like we're speaking to how it can hold complexity. And I do think that, you know, like oftentimes we think of rose for grief. When we think about rose as a nerving and as an emotional medicine, people will put it in a lot of grief formulas. And I think that part of that is like really just like, it's like holding the heart energetically. And I think like one really important aspect of working with grief is being able to face it and to look at it. And it almost kind of feels like rose is a little bit about, you know, like, all right, we're gonna look at you. We're gonna look at what's going on here. And so I don't know. I'm kind of wondering if maybe it brought a little bit of that to those experiences you had too.
Totally. Yeah. How could it not? Yeah, no, definitely. I think about that too. And like using roses to like bathe the dead, like in mm-hmm. ways of like honoring and bathing the bodies of those recently passed. And mm-hmm. yeah, and thinking about roses in that time, like in being really close to death, and how in my experience, death has been very multifaceted. Like mm-hmm. it's like very much a big ass portal to like another realm in which like the divine and cosmic energies are much more immediate to mm-hmm. me. And in my experience, like there in being in that more immediate realm, like the sadnesses and the grief is can be more palatable, like, or like, you know, like more present, and so is beauty. And so like I really appreciate that aspect of Rose, and like in holding that really gently, you know, like here's mm-hmm. this experience of like you know, but depending on what's happening, but like suffering, you know, of loss, of grief and whatever manifestation it can take. And then also at the very same time, like here's this like profound beauty in being open to feeling that and being like, you know, able to feel that, and at the same time like witness how beautiful the wind like moving through the trees is. Yeah, there's something very potent mm-hmm. about that particular medicine of that rose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then something else I was thinking about too with like the heart, I recently learned that the heart that they're finding in like, you know, research around like the mechanics of the heart, that it's not a pump, like a physical pump necessarily, that's like physically like using its force to like pump all the blood through our body, because that would take like way more pressure than it like to force it through all the tiny little capillaries and stuff, that it's keeping pace of like a swirl of fluid and like mm-hmm. waters through our body that's already swirling and flowing from the time we're like little cells. So it's really just like, you know, it's keeping the pace, it's like keeping that rhythm more than like forcing anything through. Mm-hmm. And I love it too that it's like, it's not like a, you know, you can't see me because I'm making hand gestures right now. It's not like you squeeze one fist and it like pumps out all the blood. It's kind of like, it's like it kind of wraps around itself like a rose, you know, like it kind of, the muscles kind of swirl around themselves in this sort of spiralic embrace.
Oh, wow.
And that's how it keeps pace with life, you know. And I love that that, you know, association, doctrine of signatures, whatever, but like
yes.
You know, that it kind of has. And when I was going through this pound of rose petals, I found some that were still in bud form, and I was like, this really does look like, you know, a heart.
Yeah,
especially like a little I feed my cat like raw chicken hearts sometimes.
Mm.
I don't eat that much, she does, but you know, it's like, wow, like, you know, what is it about, you know, again, this connection between like the heart and the energies and the water that flows through us, that's like so potent, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Oh my gosh. Okay. I was going to do like the like brain exploding thing, but yeah, my brain is exploding about that thing you just shared about like the muscles. Oh, that's so beautiful. That's like incredible. And yeah, like totally some doctrine of signatures, like the world is magic type stuff. Amazing. Wow. You know, I think like also the like this piece of connection that we're finding between like rose and like, yeah, this affinity for water and fluid and like the swirling and such, it also really to me brings to mind like stuff about fire season, which like here in what's colonially known as California, like we are in it deep at this point, you know. And I think that rose, like to me, rose is actually one of the first plants that comes to mind around fire season, which is kind of funny because, you know, you'd think it would be like mullein or something that's like more specifically indicated for the lungs. And also like, you know, this is another time where fire is present. And so water is really important and really scarce too. And it just kind of like, I don't know, brings together some threads for me about that. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Thanks for bringing in like this like present moment of what we're navigating. And yeah, it's definitely, so it's like mid July when we're recording this. I was like, wait, what day is it? But yeah, you're right. Yeah. Solidly fire season here. And it's really, you know, there's so much grief in saying like, it's kind of a matter of time before like we experience like being super smoked out. And, you know, I know I'm in Sonoma County right now, in Pomo land, that, yeah, people are deeply traumatized by having to evacuate. I have people who I'm, you know, in community with who have been evacuated 4 times, you know, like once each year, sometimes twice a year, depending on what's happening. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a big grief in the land and a big grief of change. And I know for my partner and I, like we would love to stay here and like build and tend community and build and tend relationship with like the original peoples of this land and like really build a life here. And because of the fires, like we can't. And like we really want to build somewhere that is less likely to burn, which is really sad. And so I'm looking at like leaving California, which is something I never thought I would do, like, and never really like wanted to do. Like I lived in Brooklyn for a year after college, and I was like, cool, wait, this city is insane. Like I never want to like, I'll like take me back to California, never want to leave. No. And so yeah, and so now we're headed to Ohio, which has its own, that's where my partner's from, like that has their own challenges and their own histories and their own peoples to honor. And it's totally different plants. Just like, you know, this big change. And I think that's again like part of why I'm really leaning on Riz right now, is to be with the grief of that and like the big change of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that resonance with like Rose at this time, even though it seems like a little counterintuitive, because like a lot of places, it's like too hot, or at this time, like they're kind of like post like total like peak rose blooming season. But there is like something, Rose is cooling, you know, like it is astringent, and it can, you know, it can survive in some cases in low water situations, and it can provide this solace and this like deep grief, which I know you have a lovely story about, if you'd like to share it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So, speaking of like evacuation trauma, it wasn't specified yet, but I live in what is known as, by our colonial, you know, society, Santa Cruz County, which last year was pretty heavily affected by the, what was called the CZU Lightning Complex fire, which just like the three words together, like lightning complex fire, it's like, that doesn't sound good.
Did you see it? Sorry to interrupt you, but did you see it happening? Because we saw the lightning like pass over the land and shit where we were.
Yeah, actually it was really interesting. Everybody who was in Santa Cruz County, like there was like a night of terrifying lightning here that I know was also like further north in the bay too. But it came like pretty late at night, I guess. Like somebody was telling me they were up at like 4 a.m. watching it. And like there were a bunch of people like out of their houses just watching it. It was like some like messages from the gods type stuff, you know, like not good vibes. So that was happening. And I was camping up in like Mendocino on like a beach that was like an hour down dirt roads, you know? And I had no idea this was going on. But then like the next morning, me and my partner were driving back to Santa Cruz. We actually drove through Sonoma. And Sonoma County was getting a bunch of lightning during the day. And there was also a little bit of rain, but it was mostly lightning, and mostly dry lightning, which is what caused the issues. So, but we were going through Sonoma.
For us.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, and now, like, I don't know if you saw, if you got the warning that was like a couple weekends ago where it was supposed, there was supposed to be dry lightning again, like, I'm just like, is this like a thing that we have to deal with now? I don't know. Yeah, climate change.
Yeah,
but yeah. So we were driving anyway. And we saw the lightning in Sonoma, and we were like, oh my gosh, like, what's gonna happen here? Like, this isn't good. You know, yeah, Sonoma County especially has been hit really hard with fires. Like the last, I don't know how many years. It's been pretty extreme there. So anyway, we're going through there. We're like, okay, well, we'll just keep going. And then we get home and everybody is like, yeah, there was huge lightning. And like, there's fire, like fire had started already when we got back. And it just, yeah, it kept getting bigger and bigger. And there was like, it was pretty extreme. And it like kept going. And my family actually lives in the Santa Cruz Mountains, which is where the fire was located. And as the week went on, I called my parents. I was like, look, like, are you going to leave? Like, are you going to make the decision to leave? Or are you going to wait until you get evacuated? And they ended up waiting until they got the evacuation order. And when they left, me and my partner decided that we were going to go too, and we were going to go try to meet up with them and stay with some other family that we have in the Bay Area. So yeah, that's what we ended up doing. We ended up leaving. And by the time we left, Santa Cruz was like, the fire actually got so close to the west side of town that I think some folks on like the perimeter of the west side, which is like near where the university is and stuff, got evacuated, and campus got evacuated because it was just like, it was getting too close. It was like going to come into the city, you know, which is pretty wild. Yeah. And we were just like, it was raining ash, you know, every morning we would wake up and there'd be ash all over everything. And you couldn't go outside. And it was just like, it was really difficult. And I was feeling like, you know, really worried about like my childhood home burning down. So we were just like, all right, we're going to go somewhere where it's a little easier to be for a couple of days. And so we went away, we went to stay with my family that lives up in Berkeley. And in Berkeley, they have a really beautiful rose garden. And one day it was pretty smoky up in Berkeley, not to the point that it was in Santa Cruz at all, but it was still kind of rough on the respiratory tissue for sure. And so we were there and we decided to go to the rose garden. And we just like went around, and like the rose garden is kind of shaped like an amphitheater there almost. And so we were just like kind of walking up and down the like steps and like smelling all the different kinds of roses. We had our N95 masks on, you know, also because of COVID. But like that plus the fire, and we would take them off like momentarily to like sniff each rose and then put it back on. And even with the, like, you know, I'm sure it was like kind of rough on our sinuses and our like respiratory to like be doing all of that sniffing, but it was like, it was so worth it. Just like being surrounded by like the beauty of all of those roses and like getting to smell each one and like smelling all of the different aromas of like cultivated roses is also really amazing. And like comparing the different ones. I have an extremely good sense of smell. That's just like a fun fact about me. So it's like, scent medicine is something that I'm really into. And, it was amazing. Yeah. Like afterwards we went home and it was like, we had been like really agitated with each other, and it was kind of like, it just like was like a balm, like it just like kind of soothed all of that, and we like felt really calm for the rest of the day. And yeah, pretty soon after that we like kind of started to like just sort of like gather our wits a little bit, and like we're able to kind of like make a plan for heading back to Santa Cruz. The fire was getting a bit more contained, and so it felt like safe to head back there. And it just really felt like a turning point. Yeah. Being with the rose medicine in that way.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for sharing that with me.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, I so resonate with that, like that feeling of like being stressed by like multiple emergencies at once and yeah. like being having like a partner to navigate that with and like feeling that tension and then like really calling on this plant being for support mm-hmm. and like seeing how that can shift and like be like, oh wait, actually like part of the reason we're stressed is like there are some really big forces happening right now that are like outside of our control, and that's really scary. And also like the way that we're gonna survive is be like belly to belly in love and like connection and like, you know, have this like, you know, this grounding experience of being connected to life and like, you know, abundant, like beautiful life mm-hmm. at the same time these like, you know, the fires and COVID and like, you know.
Yeah,
all of that, like that's no small amount of anxiety and like intense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm reminded. Yeah, we were camping as well when the lightning came through because we were staying on our friend's land and we had like put up our bell tent, and so I saw it happen. I don't know why I was awake at that time, but like I saw the flashing happening outside of the tent and I was like, who's taking pictures of the tent? Like, I did not consent to this. But then it became clear that it was, I'd never seen dry lightning before in my whole life. I'm 33. And my partner was like, fuck, and like they grabbed the cat carrier, the fire extinguisher, and my favorite owl mug. Like that's how we know what's important to us is like the cat, the fire extinguisher, and the mug with the owl on it. It was like such a gesture of fucking undying love. But yeah, we ended up, it's funnily enough, we I think for whatever reason we're like, it's fine, like this was just like a weird thing, like we didn't hear about how it had started fires in different places, so we went up to Mendocino as well to like get out of the heat because it was really really hot where we were. Mm-hmm. And so we went up for one night, and then the moment we got there we started getting all these calls from friends of ours being like, we're gonna evacuate now, like the smoke is really bad, and we are already like staying outside, so you know, we had no way to get out of it. So we only stayed for one night, came home, and in the most hasty, like stressful way of packing up all of our shit and all of the, you know, like all everything that we could fit into our cars, we did, and then wound up staying with some dear friends in San Francisco, which, you know, the Bay Area and San Francisco in particular felt like this like pocket of refuge, because we were literally, because you were on fire in Santa Cruz, the east in like Davis, in like, you know, and what was it, Vallejo was on fire, and then the north was on fire, so like there was literally fire all around us. Like San Francisco, you know. And the way that we got through it, and I wish we had thought to get roses there, but what we did have is like this love of like connection with our friends Mega and Sage, and like just cooked for them like all like that whole week that we were there, and like, you know, just had these really lovely like really big bonding connecting moments, and we're like, okay, like this is how we're gonna get through this time. Mm-hmm. Is this love and this connection and like this ability to like connect with each other around like grief and like things that we can't control. And then after that we started doing like new moon and full moon like Shabbat dinners, and that was like our Shabbat pod. Yeah, so I'm really resonating with what you're sharing about how this like that energy of, especially if, you know, it can be difficult to connect, like calling in this plant being that has really seen over the history of its use in many different cultures. I think it's seen a lot of turmoil and like a lot of war and like a lot of like unrest, and I feel a strong connection with Rose around like strong femme or like femme leaning ancestors and like the enduring qualities of spirit over so much force of like violence, colonization, and and like patriarchy and empire, like all of that raging around it. And still, like, when I bathe with Rose, I can remember my great grandmother's name, which is Elsie. You know, like, she's still there, you know. Mm-hmm. And this, that, yeah, that enduringness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Rose is like absolutely like, I mean, this is my feeling. I think that other folks will say differently. And the way that we like kind of socially construct like genders around plants is also complicated. It's something I'm going to be talking about this weekend. But
oh, in your class, the queerness of the plant world. So
yeah. Yes. Yeah. Quick plug. I'm leading a free community workshop. It's called Queerness of the Plant World. We're going to talk about plants and gender and how plants can help queer people connect to nature. We're going to dip into some queer ecology theory. It's going to be great. We're going to talk about roses a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so excited. That sounds like such a super awesome class. That sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I'm really excited to teach it. Shouts out to all of my newsletter subscribers who voted for this topic. That's why I'm teaching, because they voted for it. So that's always exciting, just to like, you know, give the people what they want. But yeah. But to me, like, I totally agree with you. I think Rose is just like the epitome of hard femme, you know, like just like the thorns, like the really like the deep beauty, but like the really strong boundaries, you know, like
so strong.
Yeah. And it's like, it's awesome. And yeah, that strength is like a part of its medicine, you know, it's like part of what we call on. And I think that's why, like, that's what I was going to the Rose Garden during fire season to get, you know, like strength and like this reminder that like life can go on, like things can be lush. And it sounds like that was something that you kind of connected with too, like being able to like be in community and like get that medicine from like folks that you're close to.
Yeah, totally. Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Big love to the hard femme and like the strength in that. Like, quick aside, we got to spend time with our friend Campbell, who is very, you know, trans mask and like just like, you know, this awesome like mask center-ish being. Mm-hmm. And he brought these fucking stilettos to where we were hanging out. Like, I don't even know how many inches. Was it 6? Was it 8? I don't know. But like, they were like these rainbow platform stilettos. And I was like, damn, you know, like, can I try those on? And it was just like, not something I would normally wear ever at all. But I was just like, that's a fierce, hard femme shoe. I just, can I try it? What's it like? So I put it on and like, I was like, this is hard. Yeah. This is hard to wear. I like fell, you know, I like bruised my leg a little bit, worth it. But like, it was like all these muscles that I had not cultivated use for as an adult human. And I was just like, this takes so much strength to get from here to there. Like, in these like hard ass femme shoes. And I was just like, I bow to the hard femme.
Yeah. I think we all really should like pay our respects.
But yeah, and yeah, and that's that quality in Rose as well. Like we were bathing with Rose and being like, the petals are actually kind of like hard and waxy. And I was like, well, yeah, of course they need to like survive. And like, these are Sonoma County roses right now. Like, these are, you know, dealing with drought and like very, very dry conditions. Like, they're going to protect themselves. Yes, they're going to be beautiful. And yes, they're going to be tough. Like,
Yeah. And it's just like, I actually taught a workshop on like care work and boundaries, like on my Patreon earlier this year. And it was really fun. I was making the slideshow. I really like to make like really beautiful slideshows for all of my classes that I teach. And every single slide for that had a rose on it, because it was just like, this is what we're going for. This is like the patron plant here, because yeah, there's like the strength, the protection. It takes so much strength to do care work, so much like inner strength and like pretty like solid boundaries to do it well, you know, to be able to like really hold somebody and like not put all your own stuff in there. Like you gotta be like, gotta be flexing. Yeah.
Yeah. So true. Yeah. And I love that, you know, the boundaries, there's the thorns, like they're there if you need them. Mm-hmm. And also I'm really reminded of like, there's a Buddhism teacher that I really admired named Spring Washam. And she talks a lot about like and other teachers that I've had at like the East Bay Meditation Center, just like folks in that line of learning, talk about the protection of an open heart and like how like coming from a place of love and like and comfortability with one's own self, like, and that like openness to one's own self and like coming from that place of love is actually like the most protective way of moving through the world. And like not necessarily like there can be those hard boundary moments where you're just like, actually no, you know, like I don't want to have this conversation, or no, I don't want to do that, whatever, you know, needs to happen. And also kind of having this like finding that sweet spot of navigating in the world with this like, I can love you over there and I can love you right here, you know, and I can love myself and have that kind of love that's like open and like semi-permeable, right? Like letting in the connection, like letting in those moments of like tenderness and like relating, and also being like, like, you know, I feel well fed enough in my connection here to like be grounded enough to know when like that's something that I don't want, or I can see what's happening for someone else over there and have love for that, even if I don't want to engage with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's some really big boundary medicine that I honor in this being. Yeah.
That's really beautiful.
Thanks. Yeah. And just, yeah, I'm thinking about like thickets of wild rose too. Like you're not going to walk through that.
Like, no, you're not going in there.
Yeah. That's not where you maybe know. But you can see it and it can be beautiful, but yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to also touch on, you know, like there's so much here and there's so much richness around like, yeah, like the heart holding and like the boundariness. I really want to talk more about like the sensuality of rose and just like, yeah, like scent medicine or just like, yeah, this for me, I'm really experiencing like with my time connecting with rose, like especially in water, this like revitalization of this like wellspring of like sensuality and sexuality and just like the juicy aliveness of like that in my being. And I'm like, wow, rose is really helping me do that. So yeah, we're talking about like hot queer summer. And just, yeah, like, this is such an interesting time right now for a lot of people being like, oh my God, I haven't been like dating or like making connections or like even thinking about making like sexy time connections with people. And then all of a sudden, at least for me and my partner over here, it's like the explosion of like, oh my God, like everyone's so hot. That's still boundaried, you know, because like there's still that. Yeah, there's the Delta variant is a real ass thing that we're starting to like see in our communities. And so there's not like this, you know, like sex with abandon as much as I want that, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm going to come over to the bathtubs and well, fuck, but like that can't happen for good reasons, but like, you know, so I don't know. Yeah. I just want to be like, how's your hot queer summer going over there?
Yeah, I think for me, it's definitely been a little bit more about like, I feel like there's been a lot more of the like conversation and like navigation of connection, you know, because at my house, we're still holding some like pretty firm boundaries around like what we do and who we're with. I live in a communal household of 5 people, so it's not like huge, but it's like enough people that it's like, we want to be careful. And yeah, so there are some things where it's like, we get invited to a party. Like we got invited to a reintegrate into society themed party. which is just funny. Yeah. And it was going to be like, yeah, all of our like really wonderful queer community was going to be there. And, you know, like I really wanted to go and like give everybody a hug and like, cheers a glass with everyone and whatever. And we ultimately ended up deciding not to go because we were just like, it's just not the responsible thing to do right now. It doesn't quite feel, time. I don't know. It's also funny because like the Delta variant is kind of coming in now. And there was like earlier in the summer, there was a little bit more, there was like a window of time where it was like, everyone was vaccinated. Like everyone in my community, at least, was vaccinated. And we weren't so worried about the variant yet. And so it was like, it was a little more popping at that time, I think.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. We weren't, yeah, it wasn't as real.
Yeah.
People who are vaccinated still getting sick, which is like, but not as sick and like not as dire, but still like still sick and still lasting, which is like scary. Yeah. It's really and frustrating. Like I feel from some frustration around just being like, ugh, like why doesn't it work? I was in the trouble of putting some shit in my body I didn't feel super great about. Like might as well work. But yeah, no, it's the window. Oh, the window.
It was a good window.
It was beautiful. A nice window. Yeah, totally. But I'm really feeling appreciative of the connection that like is here, and I know that's like different for some folks, and again mm-hmm. like that's where I really like am appreciative for more than human connections and like feeling connected to the land around me and to the plant beings, because it's like yeah we're still in it. It's as much as I don't want to be like as much as I wanted to be fucking over and like not have to worry about it and just like relish in this like ancestral remembrance of like, you know, this like totally sexy springtime with like rose petal, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
I relish, but yeah, and it's still like, okay, like we still need the boundaries. And so I love mm-hmm. that the rose doesn't forget that. Like mm-hmm. it doesn't forget their thorns. They're still there, even though I might forget. It's yeah. like helpful to help remind me. And also just holding again like the complexity of all of that and like yeah how vital like connection and like sexual community and like other different kinds of community are for our humanness. Like even this just like the small window of opening was like yeah. enough to remind me of like how much vital aliveness comes from connection and community and like touch and openness and like, you know, that kind of joy. So
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's been, I mean, I feel like Rose has been a really wonderful ally just in like all of the different types of communication I've been doing with people around like COVID related boundaries, you know, because sometimes those like conversations are not like, they're not my favorite. and I think that like, again, coming back to the like holding of complexity of like, you know, yeah, having all of these feelings of like, I just want to like bust wide open and like be open to everybody, like yeah, everyone come to my house, let's all like lay on the floor in a puddle, you know. And then having to like kind of take a step back and like reevaluate that and be like, okay, you know, actually we can only invite, you know, these two people to do that with or whatever, and like yeah. having to kind of like navigate talking with people about like, I can't do this with you and like here's why. I think it's been really wonderful for that too. So, you know, it's like a different kind of hot queer summer, but we're still getting some of it.
Yeah. It's queer in that we are taking time and care to negotiate conscientiously and consensually.
Oh yeah. Love it.
And also juiciness. And bless those two people that can come over, you know, like bless when I'm up, because I'm grateful.
Yes. Yeah, me too. Yeah. It, I mean, just that by itself is like just so sweet to be able to be like, we can extend beyond like our little house pod. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm. Totally. And yeah, I want to think that like this opening, like in spirit, because I'm really feeling like this, like at least for me, like this spring and summer, I feel more open to connections that were scary to me before. especially in like building sexual community and like kind of getting really caught up in like, you know, the kind of jealousy where it's like, I'm not really I'm not really in contact with like what my needs are, you know, but like having so much time to sit with myself and to like, you know, sit with, you know, and have this practice of being like, oh, okay, like I'm feeling this aspect of jealousy. That means like this need is coming up and speaking. And so I feel so much more capacity for connection now than I do than I had before. And I want to like, you know, find that bomb in there and being like, that's not necessarily going to go away. You know, like that slow opening that we're talking about with the rose, like, you know, that deeper connection building, like with that slowness and with that opening, like that's, it's still coming and there's more to be had.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's lovely to think about.
Hot queer next 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, why limit it to like a couple of months?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, there's no scarcity. There's no scarcity of, yeah. Well, hopefully not no scarcity of time, you know, to be open and to be, yeah, opening our hearts in ways that feel good and safe and right for us. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is also something that is like, it's really precious to do that opening. You know, and I think it's like, it's important for us to like savor every kind of step that we take too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of wisdom in that. Yeah. Hmm. Well, on that note, I think I'm going to savor this next step of talking a little bit more about some of your offerings and some of the things you want to draw folks' attentions to. Where can people find more of your projects and your work? And yeah, what's going on in that realm for you?
All right, yeah, savor away. Well, so I have like quite a network of work that I do. In terms of the kind of like community outreach portion, I do some like herbal mutual aid projects. I'm working with kind of a loosely affiliated group of herbalists here in Santa Cruz to start doing a pop-up. And that would be like with the Food Not Bombs group that sets up in a particular area in downtown Santa Cruz. And they do that every day, but we're planning on doing that about once a month, is just like having tea and herbal remedies that people can take and just kind of like starting conversations about what folks' care needs are. We're particularly doing this to do some work with the houseless population here in Santa Cruz. So that's one project that I'm doing, and definitely something that I like I'm just really excited about doing. I'm excited about like doing that work and connecting with those other herbalists and also with other folks in my community that are like interested in doing that work. Yeah, so I'm doing that. And then I also do open hours, which is another kind of like community outreach thing where I actually have folks come to my garden and workspace and we do tasks together that help me kind of run my like mutual aid apothecary. Like people can help me make tinctures and help me like steward the plants that I'm growing and things like that. Help me put stuff in bottles and boxes for distribution. And that's really helpful to me, like to be able to distribute those medicines and like have them get made. And it's also really great because it's an opportunity for folks to get some like hands-on experience of herbalism. Because it's, I don't know, it's kind of funny. I don't know if you ever experienced this, but I think sometimes herbalism can feel like this very like ethereal, like esoteric thing. People are like, you do what with what? And it's like, it's not that complicated. We're just going to like put this in some alcohol, you know? Yeah.
Put it in the jar, put some alcohol or ACV.
Yeah. That's all you do. So I think it's good for folks to like get that opportunity too, and just like see, you know, what is this and like, what do you do, and learn how to do it for themselves as well. And in a more like accessible way, because it's a little bit more of a like work exchange model. So yeah. And then I also offer some kind of like community space and education resources through my Patreon. I teach a workshop every month. I do like a live Q&A and I host a podcast on there, and I'll offer sessions to folks who subscribe to the higher tier. And I also offer private sessions for people who want to learn more about medicine making and herbalism, like separate from the Patreon. So that's another thing that I do. And I also offer herbal guidance consultations, which are, they're a little bit different from like your classic clinical consultation. And my focus is a little bit more on just like going over your self-care routine and thinking about how to integrate plants more and kind of like adding some guidance there. So it's a little bit less about like acute issues, because that's not really something that I focus on in my work at this time. So yeah, that's kind of like a nice summary of all the things. And yeah, thank you. The best place to kind of get connected with my work is just my Patreon. And that is Patreon/Madeline L. Keller. Yeah. And I know that's probably going to be in the show notes as well.
Heck yeah, it's going to be in the show notes. Yes.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, and I forgot to mention, I also teach like free community workshops, and I teach about 4 of those every year. And the folks who are subscribed to my newsletter are the people who get to vote on what those are about. And then they also get access to all the recordings. So Queerness of the Plant World is coming up on Saturday. And the link to that, like to sign up for that, will also be in the show notes, because the URL is kind of long and scary.
So, yeah. So looking forward to that. And yeah, if you're listening to this before Saturday, July 31st, I definitely encourage folks to go and check out this really amazing offering of Madeline's. It's going to be really, yeah, I'm fascinated. I want to be there. And it's going to be this Saturday, July 31st at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So, and yeah, again, you can find all of that sign up info in the show notes, and including a link to Madeline's Patreon. And yeah, it's going to be so awesome. And yeah, that's so cool. I love that your work is so focused on accessibility and education, and being like meeting people where they're at and offering these like really awesome hands-on learning experiences and yeah, accessible learning experiences, because yeah, I dig that. And I think herbal medicine is people's medicine, and I'm just, yeah, stoked to have this time to get to know someone who also holds that as very dear and is a comrade in the plants as well.
yeah likewise. It's been really fun to get to talk to you about this, and yeah, just like convene over Rose. It's been really sweet.
Yeah, it's a really nice way to meet.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, I think in closing, do we want to say, you know, you can say whatever you, what feels alive for you, if there's anything else you'd like to share, or if there's like another like top Rose moment that is calling to you to be shared with folks, or anything else that wants to come through at this time.
Yeah, I actually was thinking about this morning. A couple weeks ago, I was house sitting somewhere that had a bunch of roses, and like it was like a climbing rose, but it was scented. It wasn't like, because some climbing roses are not scented. Anyway, so it was a really beautiful climbing rose, and the people that I was house sitting for, they were like, yeah, this is just like a weed, you know, like they were having me water their garden, but they were like, we don't care about this. And I was like, oh, it made me kind of sad. I like totally watered it. But yeah, I also harvested a bunch of the blossoms while they were gone, because the people I was house sitting for, they were gone for like quite a while. So I had time to like harvest a bunch, and then a new set of blooms came in, and I got to take those home. And I had a couple of friends over, and I hit them up. I was like, hey, like y'all are coming over. Do y'all want to like help me like separate these rose petals? And they were just like, yeah, we do. And it was just, it was like a really beautiful example of like, for me, one of the perks of being an herbalist is like getting to bring other people into the work through these like really amazing tasks, where like we were like pulling the petals apart, and we were just like, they're so beautiful. They smell so good. And like the petals were like little tiny heart shapes too. Ooh. And it was just like, Oh my God. Yeah. We were all having like a really great experience. So yeah, that's another, it's a good roast story to end with. I think. Yeah.
I love it. Petals of your soul.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. We were all just like, oh yeah, so in awe.
Well, I wish that awe for all beings. May everyone who's listening like have some time and some space and ability to connect with these really alive and beautiful plant beings. And I wish everyone lots of open-hearted awe and well-boundaried experience unbridled joy. Okay, well, I think that's it for now, and a big thank yous to you, Madeline, for sharing some time with us today, and thanks to everyone who makes this work possible. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. It's wonderful.
I'm glad.
That's it for today's episode with folk herbalist Madeline Keller. Big thank yous again to you and to the community that supports you and to the community that supports me and this podcast and my clinical offerings and educational videos and classes. And stay tuned. We have a really joyful and sweet rose snippet from clinical herbalist and herbal landscaper Bonnie Rose Weaver at the end of this episode, so stay tuned. But before we go, I just wanted to say a quick little note about the podcast. I'm about to take a little break as we transition realms, as we move from this side of the country to the other side. And so we'll be taking a break from producing the podcast for August and September. But I imagine if I get inspired, I will make some little bonus episodes here and there. So stay tuned for that. Not going anywhere. Just going to take some much needed transition time and creative reset time. So with that, I want to say a big thank you to everyone in the Patreon community who is supporting my work. And if you're not a patron, now would be a really great time to support us, because this transition is a big one, and I think also going to be a really generative one. I'm going to be gearing up also to be teaching some classes in the fall. One for kids doing a medicine making, like a simple medicine making series starting in September. Or no, sorry, October. And also around that time, I'll be offering another round of ancestral healing for white folks and getting deeper with that and having some more time and spaciousness to really dig into those themes and that opening and that beginning and that path. So if that sounds exciting to you, you can join my newsletter on my website, selfhealherbs.com. You can support us on Patreon. I'm on there as Sam Wise Raritan, community herbalist. And you can stay tuned on our YouTube channel, Self Heal Herbs. There's like a bajillion ways to plug into this work. I'm also probably going to still be active on Instagram, where I'm on Instagram at Self Heal Herbs. So I'll be here and around, and I look forward to connecting when I am well rested. All right, take care.
Hey y'all, this is Bonnie Rose Weaver. I'm a clinical herbalist and medicinal landscaper based in Ramatush Ohlone land, also known as Yalamu, also known as the city and county of San Francisco. And I'm here to tell you a little bit about one of my favorite associations with rose, other than it being my name. I was named after this magnificent plant, heart-opening, extraordinaire. The reasoning by that, don't know too much about, but it's an interesting one. So there's that. But more importantly is my favorite processing reflection game. And you may have played it before, called Rose Bud Thorn. Now, I have played Rosebud Thorn so many times with so many people. If you've ever been on a road trip or really any type of trip, or if you've been a student in my class, there's so many times when Rosebud Thorn is appropriate. So if you, you know, have ever crossed paths, we may have played Rosebud Thorn together. And if you haven't, that's okay too. You may have played Rosebud Thorn with other people, and I wonder if yours is a little different. So essentially, you think of your favorite part of, let's say, your day. And you could play this, you know, at the dinner table, or, you know, if you have like a pandemic buddy that you call every day, you could say, okay, what's your rose? And so usually people take turns and they'll say their favorite thing of the day, the highlight, the standout, the, you know, the best part, and then that's their rose. So they say, my rose was that today I hung out with my friend Cora and we planted a bunch of Thai basil and Tulsi basil and we had a lot of fun. And that was my highlight at Alamany Farm. True story. And then you would say, my thorn. My thorn was that, I had a really great day. I think my thorn is that I kind of lost track of time and then I was late for a meeting. Thorn. Zoom meeting. Classic thorn. And then your bud is, you know, what's coming up next and what you're looking forward to. And so that would be, I'm looking forward to hanging out with my friend Lisa Ruth tomorrow and looking at some wood. So that's my bud. And, you know, you're just thinking, okay, what are these different types of the plant? Using that as an analogy. And then, yeah, just enjoying reflecting. It's also kind of like a gratitude journal and it's also a way to just, yeah, hear and share from each other. So I hope you have fun playing Rosebud Thorn if you've never played it or if you have and you just haven't thought of it in a while. Bye.
Voilà le portrait sans retouche de l'homme auquel j'appartiens. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les jours, et ça me fait quelque chose.
You've been listening to The Herb at the End of the World, a podcast created by me, Samwise Raridan, community herbalist, teacher, and organizer of the Self-Heal Herbs Mobile Free Clinic. All my offerings are freely offered and community supported. It's important to me that all my work in the free clinic and all the content I create through the podcast will always be offered without a cost barrier. If you feel nourished and inspired by these projects and want to support more people getting connected to healing and learning, please consider being a supporter on Patreon by searching for Samwise Raridan Community Herbalist. Any level you can give at is immensely appreciated, as it supports me in being able to live my most joyous and authentic gift to this world. I am so grateful and so in awe of the patrons who are prioritizing imagining a new and vibrant way to care for each other in this life. If you can't give money, energy in this wild time, totally understand. And another big way you can help out the podcast is to give us a 5-star rating review on Apple Podcasts or other places you download your audio. That makes a really big difference in letting more people know about these projects. Thanks for listening and being a part of creating revolutionary dialogue in your own circles. I wish you joy and healing in your journeys, and until next time.